We turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And this, again, is a very good verse I encourage you to have memorized. I know many of you do. We're going to look at this verse this morning and also this evening. We'll consider a lot of the overlap, but we'll focus in a little bit on a certain aspect this morning and a different aspect tonight. We're going to meditate on this. We're going to kind of milk it, if you were. We're going to chew the cud on this verse, meditate on it, and I pray we'll get extra blessing from it. I was planning on returning to Numbers and Matthew this day. It's helpful. It's still a bit of a challenge to get everything done in our transition, so it's helpful to turn to this today. But I was planning on it, and yet I felt in prayer the Lord put on my heart, I trust, to preach this verse to you morning and evening. So I trust there's a reason for that and that you need it and that you have an opportunity to get what you need as Christ the Good Shepherd feeds you with this his word this morning about himself always with you as your Good Shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hear now the word of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Let me read that one more time. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Thinking of these words, I think about what we learned in the documentary for a monthly fellowship this Friday night. Richard and Sabrina Wormbrand, pastor and wife of the underground church, during the time in Romania where they were of Nazi occupation. I won't review everything, but you know it was an unbelievable amount of loneliness and suffering. He was for many, many years in and out of prison. She was also for many years in and out of prison. Their son was often without his parents because they were so often in and out of prison. Why were they for Jesus? They would not deny Jesus. Though they were beaten, as he was hung upside down and beaten, so many deep scars in his body to show what communism will do to you, all the mental torment and torture and anguish, they would not deny Jesus. And they would not say communism is good, just as the early Christians would not say Caesar is Lord, because only Jesus is Lord. And so they were willing to die, as some did, such as Polycarp in his 80s, died the martyr's death, rather than deny his Lord, who has always been with him, and he trusted would be with him in his suffering of torture and death. So I think of Richard and Sabrina Wormbrand in Nazi occupation as serving in the ministry and all their suffering, long imprisonment, including solitary confinement. Can you think of anything lonelier than when he was shut, especially in that small, dark cell, for so long? When he describes how long, it's difficult to imagine experiencing that, and it's even more difficult to imagine surviving that. So lonely, the biggest issue. Do you remember what he said the guards wore on their feet to make it even more lonely? They wore felt for the soles of their shoes. What is felt? It's really soft material, so you can't hear them walking. Think about that. We understand what it sounds like to hear the heels of shoes walking, right? And at least he could possibly hear the guards walking outside to know there's someone out there. He's not completely alone in his quietness. No, the guards were instructed to wear felt, so even as they walked by his cell, he'd never know they were there. He'd never even have the sense of the company of the footsteps of his prison guards. Unbelievable loneliness. How did he survive? Jesus was always with him. He would preach the scriptures. He would remember the scriptures. He would pray. He said, I'd pray for every country. He would talk to God. And right there, no one could keep God out of that cell. He said, nobody could take God out of my heart. But what was amazing is he said, when he had the most lonely times of isolation there, the greatest suffering and deepest loneliness, he said those were the most beautiful times of his life when Jesus met him there. He says, I have seen many beautiful things around the world, but I've never seen the beauty, the same level of beauty that I saw in that prison in my utter time of loneliness when Jesus met with me and blessed me with himself and his presence. I've never experienced more glorious beauty. He said it was so amazing, I could not help but lift up my... Do you hear this, beloved? The Psalms say this, we struggle to do it. I could not help but lift up my hands. Nothing could keep me from lifting up my hands to praise him. Nothing could keep my hands down. Nothing could keep me from jumping and singing in praises to Jesus because he was with me there. And his beautiful presence saw me through all my loneliness. Jesus came to him most closely when he was most lonely. You see, Jesus is, as we saw in Genesis 15, when God comes to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, I am thy exceeding great reward. I will never leave you, I will always be with you. Jesus is our exceeding great reward. Jesus is the only one who can make such a promise as Hebrews 13 verse 5. I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. No one can say that to you ultimately. Death eventually will take them, or death will eventually take you. And they'll never be able to do that perfectly. They will leave you. They will make mistakes. But Jesus never does. He never will. He's the only one that can say to you, I'll never leave you. I'll never let you go. I'll never forsake you. And that's how you can keep going in your loneliness. When you're truly alone or when others let you down, God never lets you go. He's the only one who can promise he will never give up on you, because he's the only one who can promise he never gives you up. He will never give you up to loneliness. He will never give you up to utter aloneness. Something I want to draw out of the Greek for you that you don't see here in the English. Five times there is a negative. Not. Five negatives in the Greek of this verse. It reads more literally like this. Not you I give up, not you I forsake. Do you hear the emphasis? Not. It's kind of like when we're trying to convince someone, do you hear me? I will always be with you. Let me put it another way. Let me say it in the negative, and let me keep repeating myself. I will never, 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 never let you go. In the Greek, that's what he's actually literally saying. Not you I give up, nor not you I forsake. Not you I give up, nor not you I forsake. Do you hear the emphasis? And do you hear the positive implied by the emphasis of this negative? I will never, 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 never give you up. We focus on give you up this morning. I will never leave you, that is. The Greek could be, I will never give you up. I will never give up on you. I will never give you up. That is, I'll never drop you. I'll never let go of you. This is the greatest comfort to our children when they're afraid to hold their daddy or mommy's hand. And to feel that strong grip. And he says, I have a hold on you. That Greek word for I'll never leave you, I won't give you up, it sometimes is translated loosen. I'll never loosen my hold of you. We see the Greek word translated in other parts of the New Testament related to bands or ropes of imprisonment. He says, he's not saying you're my prisoner, of course, but what he is saying is, it's like I got a rope on you. I'll never lose you, because I'll never loosen my grip of you. I can't help but think of, I'm not commenting on whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, but maybe it's helpful to envision. Have you ever been at the airport or at the mall and you see a mother has a special harness on their little toddler with some kind of a leash? Now, I know we have different views on that, but what's the point of it? There is no way that I am going to lose my child. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I am not going to lose my child in the traffic of all the people. There's nothing worse than to be a child who has gotten lost. I've been lost before in many, many people around me, but I got lost from my dad and my family, and I was never so scared. And so Jesus is saying, I'll never leave thee. I'll never let go of you. That is, the Greek, I'll never loosen my hold of you. Jesus will never let go of his hold upon you, beloved. It is not going to happen. He's never going to let go. Well, don't you fear that he might sometimes? Don't you fear as you stray as a dumb, stupid sheep as I am that the good shepherd maybe just won't find you this time? Maybe you've gotten outside of his fingertips this time. No, he is the good shepherd. He does not lose one of his sheep. He gets you and he brings you. He may have to discipline you. A lot of work in cleaning you up. It may not be pleasant, but praise the Lord, he's the good shepherd that won't let go. He brings you back. Your good shepherd has a strong grip that never tires. He was the only one who was ever completely alone in this life, as he was bound to the cross for you. Remember, he's the only one that ever has been truly alone. You'll never know it. He was abandoned by men. He was forsaken by his Father. He hung on the cross literally and utterly alone. He cried out the prophecy of Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Utter loneliness, utterly alone, unlike you'll ever know. But he did that so that you will never have to be alone in this life or in the next life. You'll never have to be bound in eternal isolation. You realize that's what hell will be like, remember. Solitary confinement. Suffering completely alone. Everyone will be in solitary confinement. No one will have the comfort of another one to suffer along with. But Jesus has saved you from that, suffering that for you alone on the cross. So you will never be alone, here or for eternity. Jesus was let go by his Father. He was let go by man. So you and him are never given up by God. In union with him now, you are always in the best company of the Holy Trinity, in every place and at every moment. Jesus will never give up on you. He will never give you up. You will always have his personal presence with your person. And beloved brothers and sisters, as you look back on your life, maybe there are times when you were very lonely. Maybe there are long periods of your life where you were very lonely. You felt completely let alone and given up on. Can you not look back right now and realize Jesus never left you? Jesus never let you go. Jesus kept shepherding you along in your wilderness moments, and he has brought you to where you are today. Do you not see that he was always with you? And so can you not see that he will always be with you? He never gave up on you, He never gave you up, so he will never give up on you, and he will never give you up. He will always be right there with you. So, that being the case, you can apply the first part of the verse. The second part of the verse is really the explanation, the why you can do the application, which is the first part. You know, the second part of the verse is really the theology. God, through Jesus, is always with you. Therefore, here's what you should do about it. Don't be greedy. That's really the idea of don't be covetous. Don't be greedy for money. Don't be wanting things all the time. Don't be lusting after things as if they will make you feel. Don't be turning to people in your loneliness. They can't make you have what only Jesus can give you. Don't be turning to the things of the world and the people and the ways of the world to try to feel less lonely. It won't work. You'll only feel more lonely. Instead, be content, he says. Be content with whatever you have, wherever you are. Why? How can I do that? Because I am with you. See, we take our eyes off Jesus and we think we are alone. We let our heart covet after things and people and we forget all we need is what Psalm 73 says, God, all I need is God in heaven and earth. And without God, I have nothing. And I'll never be content with anything or anyone. That's true. Still the case for you today, beloved. You can never be content with whatever your situation is, as good as it is, as holy as it might be, unless you keep your eyes on Jesus and your heart fixed on him, because only he can be there with you inside yourself in a special way by the Holy Spirit. Only he can groan with you to the Father with words unutterable. Only he can minister to your heart and tell you you are the Son of God in a testimony, a personal testimony of his presence that no man or woman can give you. So you can apply the verse, because Jesus is never with you, be content. Don't covet. Be content, because you can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. Remember that something came before that. Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned to be content. Now remember, where is Paul writing from? A prison. And yet he's telling the Philippians, count it all joy when you suffer. I am, and I can, through the strength of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is always with me. Jesus Christ will never abandon me. And in Jesus Christ and his ever-present strength, I can do anything in my weakness, including one of the most difficult things to do in life, be content. That word in the Greek for content is based on the same root of our word today for content. Sufficient, and related particularly to let these things, Hebrews 13 verse 5, without covetous, be content with such things as you have. Be content, let these things be sufficient for you. Whatever you have, let it be enough. Let it be sufficient, which is related to the same word, be content. And when Paul says, I've learned how to be content in everything in life, it's the same Greek word. I've learned how to let everything, whatever I have presently at the moment, be sufficient for me. Why? Because Christ is always present with me. Similarly, remember Matthew 6, verse 34, when Jesus says, let the evil of today be sufficient for you. That is, don't worry, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't let it play with your head. Don't let it mess up your day. Don't worry. Why? Think about the birds. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Look at how God takes care of all these things. And know he will therefore take care of you. He knows what you need before you even ask. But ask so that you can come close to him and know he's with you. That you can see better that he's always been present with you. He always will be. And he says again, let the evil of this day be sufficient for you. Again, be content. Same Greek word as be content. Let it be sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, remember, we looked at that a little while ago. God's grace is sufficient for you. Paul cries out to God three times, if there's any way to take this thorn from me, please, please, please. This suffering's almost unbearable. Take it away, please, God. Three times he asks, just as Jesus twice in the garden says, Lord God, if there's any way to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. So Paul says, okay, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Same Greek word as content here, as sufficient in Matthew 6, as content in Philippians 4. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. How is it? How do you have this constant supply of grace that's enough for you? Because it is personally given to you. It is personally provided for your person at every moment by the presence of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of Christ in your heart. So you can let your present possessions, whatever they be, many or few, and sometimes when they're many, it's even harder to be content, isn't it? Whatever it is, you can be content with your present possessions. They can be, that is, sufficient for you because Jesus is always present. Your present can be sufficient, even if it's a lonely jail cell with one slice of bread a day, as we heard. Because Jesus is always present feeding you, especially with what is the greatest bread that helped him survive through the desert while he fasted, the Word of God, spoken to your heart by the Spirit out of the mouth of Christ. Jesus is always present in the Spirit of Christ to comfort you, to get you through your times of loneliness, and not only when you are in solitary confinement. Oh, Jesus hung on the cross and there were men at his right and left speaking to him, but they were no comfort. There were many at his feet teasing him, mocking him. They were no comfort. There were many watching him that loved him, but that could do nothing but watch him die, and they couldn't help him but one iota of that time. He was around many people while he died, and yet he was completely alone and terribly lonely. And yet what he had was sufficient, God's presence. In the presence of himself as the eternal God. Sometimes you may not be in solitary confinement. You may be lost in a sea of faces, as has been said. You may feel utterly alone, while at the same time, there are people all around you. Sometimes that's the worst loneliness, when no one identifies with you, no one sympathizes, no one comforts, or no one rejoices, no one laughs. No one helps you. You may feel like Elijah. You just had a great victory. You may feel like Abraham. You just had a great victory, and now you are alone and panting and exhausted, and you feel like, I can't keep doing this on my own. And God will meet with you and say, I am your exceeding great reward. And God will meet with you and say, I have preserved a remnant. There are actually thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You are not alone. You may be like the Wormbrand's son who refused to wear the signs of communism in school as a child. He refused to take the fellowship and the rewards of all of the benefits. He says there were many nice things to have if you would be a communist that all the other children had, and he forsook them because he would not forsake his father by the system that had him in prison alone. And he would not forsake his God and deny God by communism. And he would not wear the signs of it. The only one. And yet God used him being alone to shake up, as you know, the whole time of school that day. You may feel completely alone amongst many people. Maybe you feel you're the only one that's trying to serve God truly according to his word. Many say they serve God. Few want to do what he says. And you will feel very alone when you fail to do what he says, when you want to. And you need to know he will not let you go anyways, because he is your good shepherd who will never leave you, never let you go. Never loosen his hold on you, his sheep, whom he loves, whom he sealed in a relation to him by the blood. Maybe you will be a prisoner taken away from your family in a foreign land. You can always sing what? What am I alluding to? What am I referring to? I'm referring to the other movie we watched, the other video we watched 2 months ago together here for our fellowship night, based on a true story. And the song they sang that saw them through and later reunited them, when especially that youngest daughter had forgotten English, only knew to speak Indian, and almost forgot who she was. But in the marketplace, the mother sang out the song and something clicked and she remembered who she was and responded to her mother. Alone, yet not alone. You can always sing that wherever you are. Alone, yet not alone. Or as God maybe would have you remember it, alone, yet not alone. Well, so many times, don't you all the time feel alone? So you need to hear it from the Greek. Not alone. Maybe I went more than five. That would be fine. It's meant to be superfluous. It's meant to make the point by saying it more than needs to be said, because sometimes it needs to be said. You're never alone. As we sang in Psalm 23, because you have Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, the bishop of your souls, because you have him, you can sing Psalm 23 in your lonely moments. Yea, including as you face death, ultimately at some point through the shadow, alone, with no man or woman able to hold your hand there. But Jesus is there and holds your hand and brings you through to the other side. You can sing Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk alone, you could say, through the valley of the shadow of death, yet I will fear no evil. How can I say that? For thou, Lord Jesus, my good shepherd, are with me. You can sing anytime you need, when you feel utterly alone, to remember this verse, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everlasting fellowship with God. Never broken, never loosened, never lost. Remember five negatives in the Greek. Here's how it reads again. Not you I give up, nor not you I forsake. Five times. I will not leave you. It is not going to happen. But you see, the emphasis of the five negatives implies what really needs to be said to you. The positive. Positively. Five times of the negative implies by rhetorical style. The positive. Positively. He is saying to you, Jesus is saying to you as a church and as individual people, your good shepherd is saying to you, don't covet. Be content. You can by my strength because I'm always with you. He is essentially saying to you, I am always, always, absolutely, always, always with you. I will never leave you. That is, I will always, 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 always stay with you. And isn't that what you and I always want to hear from somebody? No matter what, I will never leave you. And Jesus is saying that to you, and only he can keep that promise perfectly to you. I will always, 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 always stay with you. I will always, 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 always hold on to you. Both now and forever. Eternally, or you could say perpetually. Perpetually. Remember, it was one of the ladies, young lady, teenager, I understand, who was a martyr in the early church to the Roman gladiators and the animals. Perpetua was her name. And remember the lady that was with her who had just given up her child from her breast. And her father said, just deny Jesus. Why leave us? She says, I can't. I'm a Christian. So she gives her baby to her father. She goes out to die. And she lifts the sword of the soldier quivering who can't finish the job, puts the sword to her neck, and he kills her. Felicitas, happiness, along with Perpetua, her name meaning eternal. Eternal happiness. Those young women gave the testimony that they knew that even at the hand of death, Jesus would be with them forever. And so you can say perpetual. Jesus is with you perpetually, even if you have to die for him at the sword of another person. That is, perpetually, he is in his person. He has a never-ending personal presence with you. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Brethren, brothers and sisters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wherever you find yourself, however you find yourself, with whomever or whomever you do not find yourself with, your Prince is perpetually present with you. And that's the message for you today from this text. Your Prince is perpetually present with you. He says, you are alone, yet not alone. I am always, 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 always with you. I will never leave you. I am your good shepherd. I will make sure you always hear my voice. I will always go get you when you stray. I will always bring you back. Wherever you go, I am always with you, calling you back and bringing you back. Beloved, your Prince is perpetually present with you. Let's thank him. Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you will never let us go. You will never let go of us. You will never leave us. You will never, 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 never leave us. You will always, 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 always stay with us. What more could we ask for? We thank you for being our personal Savior and Lord. We thank you for being our personal shepherd and loving us personally and always being present in your person in the Spirit of Christ with our persons. Even to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death and into the promised land of perpetual peace and happiness. So, Lord, let us obey your command based on this truth. Help us not to covet. Not to covet possessions. Not to covet people. Not to covet the attention that is of the world. It will only leave us lonelier. Instead, let us keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith, the bishop of our souls, our great shepherd of the sheep. Let us keep our eyes on you. Let us hear your voice and keep coming closer to you if we be the only one, as it seems. And remember that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you will always preserve your remnant. We are not alone as a people. Help us to find your people, our people. And every moment along the way, help us to hear your voice. Help us to look up with eyes of faith and walk by faith that Jesus is with us. And keep us content that we would not covet. Lord, we confess we need to do this better. So let us better hear what you have said to this church today and give your people peace. We pray your blessings on these things. As we close, praying what you taught us to pray, reminding us that as we do, you are with us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before Christ dismisses us from this worship service and we return tonight with the evening sacrifice on the Sabbath day, we will sing to him Psalm 117, page 259, Psalm 117. Please stand. Notice verse 2, it says, How great to us is his loving kindness or his mercy. Notice how long it says that it is, God's mercy to us. It says it's toward us ever. Notice it then says his truth also, what he's speaking to you today, never changes. You might say, well, God has to leave me now. He has to let go of me now. It says, no, his truth never changes. What he has said to you today never changes. His truth endures how long? Forevermore. So we bless him because his mercy and his truth that kiss together remain true for you forever. That is, his mercy and his truth to you as his sheep is perpetual in his very presence. Let us praise him. Da 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 da. Oh, give ye praise unto the Lord. Likewise, ye people, all accord his name to magnify. For great to us word ever are his loving kindnesses. His truth endures forever. As you have blessed the Lord for his everlasting mercy and truth to you, so now he sends to you his blessing to remind you that he is ever with you. The Aaronic blessing that he gave to the ministers in Numbers chapter 6 was meant to be an everlasting blessing to pronounce on you to remind you that he is with you, his church. He will never forsake you, his church. He is your good shepherd. Just like then, he will bring you through the wilderness together in your presence. It was Jesus, remember, who was in their presence, giving them spiritual meat, spiritual drink. He was the cloud, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. So he is still with you the same. He will lead you, his people, with his blessed presence into the promised land of heaven. And so he sends you away, having blessed him for these everlasting presence. He blesses you with a reminder of his everlasting presence and the effect it can have to make you content. Receive now his blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.